What's going on, Butcher Crew? Welcome back to the Saw's Electric Chair, where I put my guests in the hot seat. Today, I have a very special guest. It is the OG Metalhead himself, aka my dad. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me in. I like to be electrocuted.
Yeah.
You didn't put water on the sponge, did you?
I don't know.
The smell of flesh.
I don't think I did that today. I gotta I gotta tighten some bolts a little bit. I gotta make sure it's a little heated. So we'll figure out today.
Awesome.
So first things first, the question I always start off with, how did you get into metal? Because this did not occur in a vacuum. Everyone asks me how I got into it, and I always go back to, well, my parents listened to it. So how did you get into it?
I can't remember a time when there wasn't. I can remember a time there wasn't metal, but I can't remember a time. I was born in 1970. So I have a picture, and you've seen it, of me at 5 years old, and I've got my onesie pajamas on, holding my Kiss Alive 1 record.
Yep.
And I can't remember not listening to Kiss.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know. So I don't know at what point, what year it started. But I always point to, at 5 years old, here's the picture, because I have it in my mind that I can see the picture of me at five. And for many years, that's all I would listen to was Kiss. Every record, you know, Kiss come out with a new record at least once a year.
Yeah.
And it was always that. Again, there wasn't any metal, but there was rock at that time. And it was, Kiss was so different than what my parents listened to. You know, they looked different. It was shocking. And, you know, we loved it.
Is that what attracted you to Kiss, was because it was different?
Definitely. Gene Simmons.
Was Tom.
Yeah, it's the way he looked. I remember seeing, first time I ever saw a Kiss record, his makeup, the way he looked, it's like, there's nothing like this out here. Where, what, you know, wait, what? What's going on?
What are you?
Yes, exactly.
What are you? And didn't you discover Kiss because one of your friend's older brother used to?
Yeah, Jim, at some point, we'll talk about Mercy, the band I was in. Jim was the drummer. I grew up with him. He was a little older than me, but we grew up together, the neighborhood. We had a little gang. We all hung out, you know, all the neighborhood kids. Everybody listened to what we today would consider metal. Everybody, I don't know anybody my age that did not listen to Kiss.
Yeah.
Or any of the other bands that came along, you know. Everybody listened to it. And he had an older brother, Kerry. God, he's 5 years older than us. And he really turned us on to a lot of different bands, you know, when, as we got a little older, 10, 11, 12 years old, turned us on to a lot of different bands, AC/DC, Boston, which I'm still not crazy about, but it's a good band.
Yeah.
I'm just not crazy about the music. He turned us on to a lot of that. I can remember staying over at Jimmy's house on a Friday night, Saturday morning, every morning, full blast, Back in Black. And that,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was so loud. Everybody's sleeping, and that's what his brother would do.
It's the wake-up call.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. You know, it's burned into my memory.
Yeah.
You know, part of who I am.
So when did it, like, after Kiss, what was probably the transition into, like, the other type of metal that you would listen
to? Yeah. So, like I said, for many years, several years, it was only Kiss.
Yeah.
I would not, I'm loyal. It would only, Kiss is all I could get into. And then Jim's brother got AC/DC. It really got us in. Jim got a drum set. I remember we were probably 10 years old. He was probably 11 or 12, got a drum set. So he's learning to play this stuff that we're hearing his brother play. So I would say AC/DC was high up there next that we would listen to. And I grew up in Binghamton, New York. Endicott, New York is where I grew up. And what difference between there and here in the South is I never heard of Led Zeppelin, for example, until I got down here.
Oh, wow.
Never even heard of Led Zeppelin.
We love some Led Zeppelin.
Yes, I know. I know. Me and your mother have debated that a lot over the years. But so AC/DC was big. Like I said, Boston, good band. I just never really got into them. Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one.
I remember that. Like, everything, whenever I think of, like, one of my favorite songs that to start me off was always Little Dreamer. Because I remember you would play it on my way to elementary school.
Yep.
And that was I feel like that was like my first song that I really liked, besides Crushin'.
Well, you have to tell that story, right? You made me play. Play Little Dreamer.
I did. That's all I wanted to listen to.
Every morning on the way to elementary
school. It's a great song.
Little Dreamer. Yep.
I like the harmonies. It was great.
They were, and I remember listening to them. It was later that 1984 came out, so I'm even before that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, you know, like 1980 is when Back in Black came out.
Yeah.
I never heard of AC/DC with Bon Scott until after I had heard of AC/DC with Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
And then, because the first I remember is Back in Black, which is a... That album's a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
That's rock and roll right there. I mean, that is the groundwork for what we listen to now.
Yeah.
But then I went back and found Highway to Hell, you know, which was only the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Because
didn't Mom, she went and saw AC/DC with Bon Scott, and then she saw him with Brian Johnson the next year?
Yeah, but and she didn't know what had happened to Bon Scott. So she shows up at the show, and she's like, Who the hell's this guy singing?
Who is this?
And she liked him, but it definitely wasn't Bon Scott. And she's a Bon Scott fan.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of them that like Bon Scott. I don't know if I could say, I'll just say better than Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson's awesome. I like Brian Johnson better than Bon Scott, but that's what I grew up with was Brian Johnson. I remember the Fly on the Wall record. We saw them. I saw AC/DC so many times. I should be a member of the band. Every year they'd come to the arena up there in New York. I could be the cheerleader.
You do like the air.
Yes.
You do that.
Yep. I can play the hell out of air drums now.
Oh, I know. If y'all don't know this, but the OG metalhead over here will come in to my sets sometimes and just hang out. Or even if we're at home and I'll just play music, he's just over there playing the air drums.
Yep.
With a big grin on his face.
And the air guitar.
And the air guitar. He'll do it at shows.
Yep.
He'll do it everywhere.
Yep. And I jam.
You jam.
Yep. I'm good because you can't hear it.
Exactly. That's why we have a band called The Talentless. It's our air band. And we just play air instruments and I lip sync.
So. Yeah, that's right.
And we sound just like the band.
Exactly like them. Neither one of us can carry a tune.
Oh, no.
Can't carry it in a bucket.
Brothers got.
Yep. Your brothers can play guitar. They can play drums. We got nada.
Nope. I have an ear for music.
Yes.
But that's about it.
Yep.
I mean, I can't even do like the air drums or anything because I don't know where anything is. So I just, that's why I'm the lip singer. That's about it.
Right. Well, see, now out of all the times I've listened to your podcast and I've listened to you on air, I haven't heard you tell a story yet that I've been holding and waiting for my opportunity to tell the story. Speaking of you singing.
When
you used to, not sing for your brother's band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can do a mean pig squeal from time to time. And I remember that because I remember we always used to do the Pursuit of Vikings. And they made me, I was really good at 8 years old, but now I can't do it.
Well, you didn't know the words. So it was great because it was like the early Napalm Death Barney. When Barney would sing, he wouldn't have words. He'd just go, "Raw!" And that's what you would do. You were like eight.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. Yep.
So, that's kind of like my backup. I could just do pig squeals on
that's right.
a record. I'm not going to do it now. Sorry, y'all. Y'all ain't ready for this. It's too good. But back to, we had a little side note.
Yeah.
We had some nonsense.
Rabbit trail.
So AC/DC, and then I really want to bring up one band, Twisted Sister.
Oh, yes. And that was probably for me, when everything began to change.
Really?
Yes. So I had a job working under the table when I was 14 is when I started working at a little mom and pop store, you know. By the time I got there, he didn't even sell gas anymore. It was just, you know, you run in and get lottery tickets, basically, is what everybody was getting later. Anyway, so I had a job, so I had my own money. So every week we would go to the record store and we would look at the record covers and we would pick it by how cool they looked. We'd never heard of the bands.
Yeah.
So we would just go, hey, this looks like a good one. That's how I just found a lot of the bands that I like. Well, that's how I found Twisted Sister. What I found turned out to be the album Under the Blade, which was way back early released, wasn't even released in the United States, and had live tracks on it first time I ever heard cussing on records.
Oh yeah, because
was Twisted
they
Sister.
Were like that band. They had that whole like court case. Yeah. So now we have like the explicit.
Yes, that is yes. Dee Snider sat before Congress. There's video of it. You can see it on YouTube. He sat before Congress in all his long-haired glory and represented the metal community because he's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah. He articulated his argument.
Yeah. Well. But that's why we have the PMRC and the warning labels and all that stuff that Congress was trying to shut down metal.
Thanks, Twisted Sister.
So I'm listening to Twisted Sister the next year. They came on tour.
Mm-hmm.
They came to the Broome County Veterans Memorial Arena is where I used to see all the bands. And they filmed The Price where I was at because he was lip syncing. The band was, they played the song twice. And the band is just sitting there playing air guitar and air drums. And he's lip syncing twice to make that video. They made that video where I was there
for
that.
That's cool.
When you interviewed D, you told him about that.
Yeah, I did.
About
he
me
was
being
like,
there.
Oh! That's
yeah,
because cool.
That's, God, you're talking 84, maybe?
Yeah.
That was a long, I was 14.
And wasn't it that your dad would, like, drop all of y'all off?
Yes.
And then come
Spanky.
And pick you up? It was, like, routine.
Well, none of my friends' parents had a car.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, everybody walked everywhere, you know, or rode the bus. Nobody had vehicles.
Yeah.
My father was a banker, so he had to be able to drive all over. So, yeah, we had a car, one. We had a car, and he would pick us all up, drop us off out there, and then he would just come back a few hours later and sit out there. It was great. He'd sit out there and wait for us. And we'd show
That's
back
cool.
up, pile back in the car, you know, and he and we were using some words that, you know, 13, 14-year-olds shouldn't use. He never said a word.
Yeah.
You know, he may mention something to me later. But, yeah, he used to give us rides up there to see all the bands we saw.
And I know Peepaw didn't really like Twisted Sister.
Oh, no, he hated them. He was the band you love to hate.
He'd bang on, like, yep. the ceiling to tell you to turn your music down.
Yeah, and now he would listen to Twisted Sister now.
Yeah.
But in those days, he hated it. He couldn't, the whole idea, and it's the, what do you guys say today? Okay, boomer.
Okay,
isn't that
yeah.
your phrase today? And that would have been what I would have said to him then.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you have a hard time with this is because, you know, you're the parent.
Yeah, it's a different culture. And at
yes.
that time, it was like, especially in music, but also in like, we had this conversation about like horror movies, like Nightmare on Elm Street. It was always the adults versus the kids.
Oh, yes. And so, that's the era I grew up in.
Yeah.
We were always, you know, everybody's parents, they were cool.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a matter of, you know, it wasn't some kind of abusive situation, but there was this inherent divide between our parents and us, and it's a generational divide.
Yeah.
The point of metal when I was growing up that's different than your generation is the point of metal when I was growing up was this was ours. Our
mm-hmm.
generation, this is ours. It was rebellion. I don't care what the government's doing. I don't care what you say. And remember at this time, Dee Snider, the PMRC, the government's trying to outlaw metal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd. And the idea that, you know, Big Brother is going to do this to us, and it just strengthened. And I think that's why I can't think of anybody my age or in my age group when I was growing up that did not listen to Twisted Sister, Van Halen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, AC/DC, Boston.
Yeah, and it's, like, interesting to see whenever we would go see these, like, old bands now.
Yeah.
And we would see all these, like, bunch of normies, you know? And it's like, oh, yeah, we used to listen to this back in the day, but you've stayed the same.
Yes.
You've always been a metalhead.
Yes.
So why do you think that you stayed in this type of culture, whereas everyone else at your age after they just grew out of it?
Well, and my father used to always tell me, one day you'll grow out of this. And I never have.
Yeah.
I started wearing the chain wallet. I still remember buying it at the mall when I was 15. I bought my first chain wallet, and I've always had a chain wallet, as I sit here right now.
Yep.
You know, your whole life, I've always had a chain wallet.
Where's your dog?
Where's your dog, your brother? But that's because, and to answer your question, is because this is about identity for me.
Yeah.
When I said that Twisted Sister changed everything, that was part of this. It was part of identifying with a cultural phenomenon, a cultural movement. When the days of Twisted Sister in a band that you don't hear much about anymore, but Wasp.
Oh, yeah.
Blackie Lawless was incredible. I think he's born again Christian or something now. And he's, the Wasp is still around. The music has changed a little, but I mean, he had songs like Suck Me, Eat Me Raw. I've never heard stuff like that. And of course I'm like, yes, this is great. But that began to change everything. We all did who I grew up with. We dressed the part. We looked the part. Yeah. We all grew our hair out. I'm surprised when I see bands of your era and they all have short hair.
Yeah, you always comment that. Like, anytime I show him a band, the first question is, do they have long hair or short hair?
Yeah, because because of the music they play.
Yeah.
I mean, Whitechapel. I mean, they are so, that's one of the heaviest bands of your kind of metal that I've heard. And I'm like, these guys don't, I mean.
They don't look like metalheads.
No, they look like they'd be sitting in a cubicle, you know, working somewhere. And maybe that's, you know, I don't know if that's by design or not. That's not my lane.
I think what's different now is that, like, your generation, it was all rebellion. And it was, we're going to look different. We're going to be like this. And it's like now this generation of metalheads is like, we're nerds. We're a little bit more versatile in a way where it's like you can tell someone's a metalhead sometimes. But then other times it's just like.
Well, and really? Don't get me wrong. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great that the way you guys, I think it's brilliant. The way you guys have spread across, you've taken the genre and you didn't make it about here's what you have to look like. For me growing up, it was, you couldn't be good at school and be a metalhead.
Yeah.
If you were good at school, you had to do it privately. You had to do it quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You had to put up a front like, oh man, this sucks. But, you know, but inside you're like, oh, God, I love doing math, you know, and that was a problem that I had because I did love math and I loved history, you know, but I had to pretend like this sucks, you know, sleeping in class and stuff just to be cool. There was a real focus in my generation for being cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to the question you asked me. And it was a drive to at least look cool. You fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
What happens is as we grew up, a lot of my age did exactly what my father used to say. You'll grow out of this. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
When I took you and when you and I went to see Iron Maiden, you know, my generation of metal, Iron Maiden, Kings. You've seen the people my age.
Yeah.
You know, they were dads. It's like, this is dad metal, and they're wearing dad hats, you know?
It's dad rock.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then I look different than all of them. Tattoos. There's not many my age that have sleeves like I do, because they grew out of it. They wouldn't do that. You know, you got to be able to cover it up and stuff like that. So I think there is some of us. And I'm not in a band. You know, it's one thing if I were in a band, I'm almost 50.
Yeah.
To be in a band, that's one thing. I'm not even in a band, but this is who I am. And that began Twisted Sister, 1983, 1984. That's when that began. They were huge until Metallica came along.
Oh, yeah.
That changed big time for me, too.
When was the first time you, like, discovered Metallica?
By accident.
I remember the story.
We went to the arena to see Ozzy for the umpteenth time. Ozzy was around every year and he'd always bring a band with him. I saw Ozzy the year before and the band that he brought with him that we never heard of, Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was great because they looked glam.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're used to the big hair rock.
Yeah.
They looked big hair, they looked glam, but they didn't sound it.
Oh, no.
And their lyrical content was real raw and their show was great. You know, the idea that when they first started, they were basically dressed in drag.
They also embodied the sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Definitely.
To a T.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember seeing them with Ozzy. Ozzy was great for bringing these great. He can spot these guys are going to be good.
Yeah.
They just need a chance. He brought Metallica, Motley Crue. The next year, here's Ozzy, and we always go because it's Ozzy, you know, it doesn't matter. We know every song, every word better than Ozzy does, and it doesn't matter. It's Ozzy. And so we're standing in line, getting ready to try to get in the show. It's like three times around the stupid building, and I see all these people wearing Metallica shirts, and I had read that Metallica's coming. I'm like, who the hell is Metallica?
Mm-hmm.
And they try to explain, and I'm like, you can't explain to me this band? Well, when they came on, I realized why they could not explain it. I had never seen anything like it.
Oh, yeah.
They started with dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
were just like, oh, my God. Oh, by the time they got to Battery, that was the fastest thing I'd ever heard in that day. I mean, we're talking, I saw them with Cliff Burton. 3 months before Cliff Burton died, I saw Metallica with Cliff Burton. there's nobody playing this fast mm-hmm. in 1986. It was insane. And that continued my evolution. Now it's, oh my God, it's got to be heavier.
Yep.
It's got to be faster. Then came Metal Church after them. M's. Bands with M's. You know, Metal Church came after that. And it was intense. And that's how it was for me. I replaced Kiss with Metallica mm-hmm. till I went in the Army in 1988. So everything after that was Metallica, Metallica, Metallica. Now I listen to Metal Church because I really like them. And I listen to other bands, Megadeth, who later I would learn their connection to Metallica. Yeah. Megadeth, I loved Megadeth. That whole thrash scene began mm-hmm. to start in the 80s, you know. So that was huge to have them, SOD, MOD, really some great Anthrax.
Oh,
some great thrash going on now. The Milano Mosh. I've been caught in a mosh many times.
When was the first time you saw Slayer?
Oh.
We have to bring up the big four.
Okay. So I had known about Slayer. Christmas 1986. We moved to North Carolina in 1986. Christmas, it was like October, November when we moved down here. I think it was October. Christmas of the year we moved here. I've been here 2 months. I'm having a terrible time fitting in. I'm fighting every day. Because I have long hair and I have a full beard at 18 mm-hmm. and everybody's calling me a narc, so I'm kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Because you know my philosophy.
You either got to give or receive an ass whooping.
At least one time in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. It's an attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
So I'm stomping everybody's ass. I'm like, you rednecks, I'm going to stomp your ass because mm-hmm. you don't know what you're talking about. The ignorance was staggering. So I'm having a hard time. So Christmas of 86, my cousin Ken, who's a drummer. You know, I don't even want to mention who he's with. He's sponsored by a certain drum kit that has a letter that starts it.
Okay.
Just one letter. He bought me the Slayer Rain and Blood. Wow. Said same songs mm-hmm. on both sides of the tape. It was a cassette tape. I wore it out so much you could hear the song playing backwards.
Oh, wow.
From the other side. So I already knew who Slayer was. So in 1988, I go in the Army. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with my life. Both my mother and my father in the Army, their parents were military, brothers, uncles. Everybody's in the military. This is what you do. So I go in the military in 88, and I end up in Germany for 2 years. That's when I saw Slayer, when I was in Germany. We were going, hey, wait till we get here. It's going to be great. We used to go to this club called Rock Fabrik.
Ooh.
It was an old factory. So it's the size of a factory that they've set up into a club. They had speakers, and on top of the speakers were 10-foot winged demons on top of the speakers set up all over. And the pit was framed in brick, 4-foot-high brick wall.
Oh, that's badass.
Inside the pit. Okay. So we're like, all right, when we get there, we're going to be in the pit and we're going to be moshing, and Slayer comes on, and this is going to be great. I'm in the pit. Freaking Slayer comes out, and I just stood there in awe.
It'd be like that sometimes.
And
that was me with Dying Fetus.
Yes, yes. I remember you telling that story, and I'm like, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
When I saw Slayer, and I got to meet Kerry King and Tom Araya. I bought him a beer at the bar.
Nice.
That night. Yeah, that was really something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things changed for me when I was in Germany. I got into a whole different kind of metal.
Oh, yeah. Isn't Germany. That where you first heard death metal?
It is.
How was that?
I hated it. I remember in that bar, Rock Fabrik, and there was no club. I mean, there was no bands playing.
Yeah.
We were just there, you know, drinking. You know, good thing I got pictures of Germany.
You don't remember?
Because I don't remember a whole lot of it.
You don't even remember seeing Metallica in Germany.
Exactly. But I got the shirt to prove I was there.
You got the shirt to prove it.
Yeah, I did a lot of drinking. I went to Paris, France, Christmas of 1989, and I don't even remember being there, but I got pictures.
Yeah.
That I was
there.
I was walking around with a Jack Daniels bottle in my coat.
You got your first tattoo.
Got my first tattoo in Germany. Yeah, and my second. Yep. In Germany.
And it's Eddie from Iron Maiden.
From Iron Maiden. Yes. Yep. Can't really tell by looking at it, but that's who it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in that club drinking, and a bad riff comes on. You know that mm-hmm. European. What we now know is death metal, that European sound. They got those riffs, that crunchy sound that kind of grooves. It's real layered. Dude starts, you can't even call it singing. You know, it's European death metal mm-hmm. now. He come on, and I'm looking around like, I've just entered the seventh circle of hell. I mean, he sounded like a demon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. And we were all of us that were sitting at their table were like, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking around at the Germans. They love it.
Yeah.
They're ahead of us. They love it. And it wasn't until I got home from Germany, 90, 91, when a guy that was living with me and my roommate, he moves in, he's sleeping on the couch. He introduced me to Death.
Oh, yeah.
The band Death. And that's when it became all about death metal then.
Yep, it was on.
I'm obsessive compulsive. So I'm like, ooh, and now Kiss is replaced by Metallica. Now it's death metal.
Yep.
Anything death metal, I love it.
Oh, yeah. You've been a death metal snob is what I called you.
Yes.
For the longest time.
Long time.
And I remember you wouldn't listen to anything but death metal, and then Mom showed you Korn.
Well, she was on a mission. When I met your mom in 1996.
At a metal show
in Wilson, North Carolina, the Metal Fest. She pushed me into the pit. We met mutual friends. I had a friend that was in two of the bands that was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you all that are listening may know Kirk Matthews. That's my brother. And she's friends with Kirk's wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's how her and I met. Completely by accident. We met at that show. Matter of fact, I went with a friend of mine, Josh, who was a huge metalhead.
Mm-hmm.
We rode out of that. He and I rode out of that environment together that night, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen him since.
Since you met Mom.
Yeah, I had to trade him in, I guess. Maybe it's the same person because I haven't seen him. You know, I haven't seen him together in the same room. I haven't seen him since then. But she's been on a mission because I would only listen to death metal. One of the bands that Kirk was in was Nocturnal Fear. An incredible death metal band. Oh, and he writes the lyrics and did most of the growling, you know. But she was like, okay, I'm going to have to get you into something else because you know her. She's a huge Pantera fan.
Oh, yeah. Pantera got them riffs.
Yeah, yeah. And see, and
didn't
I,
you like Pantera?
I knew Pantera, but, you know, not death. So I could jam on it. But I was like, yeah, this is cool. And, you know, Dime's riffs were incredible.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Dime opened the door.
Oh, for definitely.
For my bands because it's the different riffs. It's more intensified.
Yeah, it's a combination, I think, of the way Dime, you know, because then he ends up inventing his own amps and all that stuff to help support his sound. I think it's a combination of Dime, but also bands like Maiden. Who would change tempos. You get 20 songs in one song,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all the tempo changes. I think A Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Maiden, one of my favorite songs, you know, that's historical. So I think it was a combination, but Dime plays a huge role in any kind of metal after his time, after Pantera.
Yeah, it was like Metallica opened the door and then Dime just damn kicked it open.
Yeah, Metallica. See, that's a story. We could talk about that for an hour by itself because I was there.
Yeah.
I was there when metal was the bastard child that you didn't let out of the basement.
Yeah.
And Metallica swore they would never make videos. They would never commercialize. They were going to do it their way. And I would argue they did do it their way. But also, they did begin to make videos.
Mm-hmm.
They made a video for one. Was their first video, which was huge, but it shot them into the mainstream where
it did.
And everybody come crawling out of the hole.
Yeah.
You know, all these metal bands come crawling out of the hole. And the Black Album, who a lot of your generation thinks is Metallica's first record.
Yeah.
Because it's self-titled. I understand the confusion, but though that is a great record. I mean, it's great. Almost every song on it is great. Mm-hmm. It's a 10 out of 10 record, in my opinion.
For sure.
It is commercial, and it's nothing like Master of Puppets.
Nope.
It's nothing like Injustice for All,
or
which
Ride
is my
the
favorite.
Lightning
yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah, nothing like it. It's a great record. But once they came out of the hole, it just opened. You know, the pit, the doorway to hell opened.
Yeah, it just opened. And then you had like System of a Down, you had Slipknot, you had Korn, you had Pantera. And I remember I just looked it up. The song Mom Showed You by Korn is because she knew you wanted to hear growls.
Yes.
Because that's all you want to listen to. So she showed you the song Lies.
Yes.
Off of their self-titled.
Yep.
And he does the
yeah.
And you were like, okay.
I like this. What I had
that.
To get used to with Korn is, and hey, as long as it's metal, I'm down. Doesn't mean I'll listen to it, but I'm like, okay, this is metal. I'm with it. I'm not crazy about the rap metal.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to get used to the way Jonathan would sing because he can sing.
Yeah.
But sometimes he doesn't sing. So it's hard, which leads into a lot of the bands that you got me into and the genres that you got me into, the brokenness, how the music is broken up in Korn, how it's so bouncy. You know, death metal's groove, even Cannibal Corpse that beat you to death, has a groove to it. You
like
know,
like Evisceration Plague is just
riff
is just so nasty.
But even their faster stuff, you know, Priests of Sodom or something like that, where it's just you know, like a machine gun the whole time. There's a groove to it. There's a pattern, and it's hard for me. It was hard for me with Korn. I love the heaviness of Korn and the way they do that light and then it's like. John. That's what makes it sound so heavy is the transition. Oh, I loved it, especially about what their third, fourth, fifth records. I was like, oh God, this stuff is heavy. And then I found there is heavier music than that, than death metal.
Oh yeah, you can thank the Saw.
yes,
for that.
I can thank the Saw.
Y'all don't understand. It was always death metal.
Yes.
At all times, and then you know, like my brothers would play them. Some bands, and he'd be like, all right, these are cool. But it wasn't until like I got into it, and we would just be sitting there, and I'll be DJing, and every few songs I would get the, who is this?
Yeah.
And the two main bands that you are crazy for is Whitechapel and Thy Art Is Murder.
Yes. And yeah, so the whole deathcore scene.
Yeah.
I have to get used to, and you and I have talked about this, the choppiness of it, how it's so hoppy. You know, it's I forget the word you use when it's hoppy and bouncy like that. There's some kind of phrase you have for that. You use it all the time in the butcher shop. There's a phrase for that. And I have to get used to that because I'm used to that death metal buzzing bee.
Yeah. And I think what you had to get used to was that like deathcore is a combination of hardcore and death metal.
Yeah.
And that choppiness comes from like the hardcore.
Right. Yeah. The core aspect of the. Oh, and by the way, I love hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so powerful. I love it. But it's that hardcore, that deathcore. So you've taken death metal and hardcore and combined those two together. Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
The Butcher Shop is, you're getting to the point in the Butcher Shop because of the Meat Locker, where Amon Amarth and bands, I love melodic death metal. You know, I love Amon Amarth, Arch Enemy. They're not heavy enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost not heavy enough for the Butcher Shop. It's getting so heavy. These deathcore bands.
I take that as a compliment.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean it as a compliment.
Thank you.
I remember when you and I went up to DC to see King Diamond.
Yes,
Wait. Do Rob Halford.
Oh, no.
Do Rob Halford.
It's like the
King Diamond.
Can y'all tell the difference?
Do it again, Rob Halford.
Oh my God, I'm going to laugh if I do this again.
Do Rob Halford. King Diamond.
I sound just like him. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, you do.
It was great.
So we go up to see King Diamond. That's when we have to show is your kind of show with metalcore bands.
Yeah, because you saw Whitechapel and Thy Art.
Well, in the other in reverse
in
order.
In reverse, Thy Art played before Whitechapel, and then during the middle of Whitechapel set, Dad goes, "All right, I want to go smoke," and we left Whitechapel.
Yeah, it's hard. One, it's hard to follow Thy Art Is Murder.
Oh yeah, CJ's
you got
just
to
the
bring
man.
Some heat. Oh yeah, and him doing that stage dive.
Yeah.
From up on top of the speakers.
Yeah, just
and
jumping.
Kept on singing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I had. Oh yeah, and I had heard them. Your brother, your youngest older brother, I heard Thy Art with him. I heard Whitechapel with them. But I never really paid attention until you got into it. You know, your DJ skills really hooked me in going, oh, I like that riff from that early Whitechapel album where he does
the
for so long. Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
So I really like deathcore. So you and your mom have been on a mission to expand my death metal love.
But then I also got you to have low key a love for metalcore.
Mm.
You don't like the names of the
I don't
bands,
like the names of the metalcore bands.
But you love Miss May I.
Yeah, MMI. Yes.
Yep, he'll only call him MMI because he doesn't like the band names.
Well, remember the whole cool thing.
Yeah,
he
gotta be cool.
That's right. Miss May I is not cool.
Because I remember, but it's fun. I love it.
I think the band is cool.
Yeah.
Just their names.
See, Levi fits your long hair and tattoo requirement.
Yes, he does. Yep. Patrick.
The rest of the band, Patrick. We call him Patrick. I don't know why we
do that. Oh, my socks
that.
Wet.
because when he sounds so different when he talks than when he sings, and he doesn't sound like Patrick, but we just call him Patrick. I don't know. It's an inside joke thing, I guess. But I remember I was playing like Relentless Chaos, and like you really liked Forgive and Forget because it was very dark.
Yep.
But you loved the song Hero with No Name.
Yes.
Riff in that.
The riff in that, the way the song's written, the composing of that song, his lyrics in that song, the lyrical content of that song, incredible.
Yeah, it hits
me. I didn't know I had feels, except for, you know, the time we were watching a movie and you start crying and I'm like, oh my God, my head is leaking.
My head's leaking.
What is this coming out of my eyes? I didn't know I had feelings until then. But that song hit me into feels for the first few times I heard it. So, and I'll always like that song. MMI.
It's just like MMI. I remember when Deathless came out.
Yeah.
We listened to it to and from the beach.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, I can hear this and this and this. And you loved how technical they were.
The harmonizing they do.
Yeah.
Really.
And you
really
were okay
good.
With clean singing.
That's
when you slowly were like, okay.
Some of
I can
it,
dig
I'm,
it.
I'm not, I'm just not a fan of clean singing.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with some of the metal, the rock metal, because of the clean lyrics. I don't know what my fascination is with the death vocals of death metal and deathcore.
Yeah.
But that's what appeases me. That's what, you know, that's what makes me happy.
That's the voice in your
and
head.
See, and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of music makes me happy. I'm not angry. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I don't feel like tearing stuff up when I listen to it. It makes me happy. I just sit around smiling when I play air drums.
Yeah.
I'm just as happy as I can be. I just, death metal makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, I love horror movies, and I've raised you to love horror movies and your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just watched horror movies every weekend. I loved it.
Speaking of what we did as a family, let me tell you what we used to. I think this is why I talk a lot now. So we would just, you know, having dinner, like family dinners, you know, and you would think that's the time you would catch up and talk about your day. No, we had music appreciation where we would sit in silence and listen to death metal. It was like 6 feet under.
Awesome.
Cannibal Corpse.
Yes.
Obituary. And it was anytime I tried to talk, I would get a shh.
Shh.
And it was.
Listen.
Listen. And that was it. We just had to listen to metal.
Music appreciation.
Yep.
We had to listen to Murdered in the Basement every Friday.
We used to sing that song in the car.
As a family.
As a family. Family bonding.
Yep. Yep. Even your mom would sing along with
us. Yep.
Oh, see, good old days.
It was
good
great.
Old days.
I remember you used to play the air drums with me.
Yep.
I'll just stand there, and then I would just, the only thing that would shut me up is Crush 'Em by Megadeth.
Yep.
That's about it.
You had your dance you used to do to Rob
Dead
Zombie.
Girl.
Yep.
Yep. Full circle. That's how we do it. And then the other metalcore band that you really, really like is Upon a Burning
shift
Body.
Gears fast. Yeah.
I do
like Upon a Burning Body. Yeah.
You like their name, too.
I do like their name. How can you not? Upon a Burning Body. I mean, that's just awesome.
Sounds metal. Well, they're from Texas. So,
yeah,
I mean,
there
it
you
works.
Go.
And I remember the first song I showed you that you were just like, holy shit, I love this band, was Texas Blood Money.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Love it.
So what is it about Upon a Burning Body that you really like?
A lot is the same as MMI. What I like about metalcore in general, the clean vocals, I have to get used to that. And some of them I like and some of them I don't. His clean vocals are heavier than clean vocals in Upon a Burning Body. But the riffs, the composing of the songs, you know, I like to hear every individual thing going on. I love to hear what the drums are doing. I really like the newest record.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of those songs on there I think are going to be huge. Yeah, yeah, really, I like that. But overall, I think it's him, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know this band personally.
Yeah.
I've got to meet him. You know, he stood, you know, like to my chest.
He liked your obituary shirt.
He liked my obituary shirt, yeah. But I got to meet him, and, you know, that's always helpful. But all of the metalcore, God, these guys are incredible. And the talent to write these riffs.
They have a lot of melodies.
Yes,
and stuff
love
to it.
Love it. Because, again, that takes me back to death metal.
Yeah.
Just a relentless beating isn't what I like about death metal. I love, your mom calls it the buzzing bee. I like that sound in the guitar, or the train sound, which is kind of like Evisceration Plague, has that train sound.
They have just really good, like, heavy hitting riffs that aren't like, they're not like as technical as metalcore.
Right.
And they have a lot going on. There's a lot of aspects to it. And like death metal, it's just short, simple. Here's your beating.
Yeah.
But the riffs are just insane.
Right. So metalcore takes that riffage and builds just on that.
Yeah.
On the riffage. And to me, that's what I like about metalcore, that overcomes anything that an old death head like me, it overcomes anything I wouldn't like about it. You know, it's the music. Just the names. I don't like a lot of the names.
And, you know, I've been getting them into Knocked Loose.
Yes. Got to see them too just a few weeks ago.
We still laugh at his voice sometimes.
Every time I hear it, I laugh.
It's fun.
Because it doesn't fit.
Yeah. He just comes out like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
But they're Counting riffs,
Worms.
Man.
Love Counting Worms.
Counting Worms is awesome.
Yep.
And then you're a big fan of Kublai Khan. I like Kublai Khan.
Yeah. Yeah. I like their primitive sound.
Yep.
Yeah.
Left Behind.
Oh, yeah. Good riffs there, too, and Left Behind.
We're all here for the riffs. That's about it. We just love riffs over here.
So, because for me, it's all about, if I had to name, and you and I have done this, the Mount Rushmore, my bands be on Mount Rushmore. You know, for me, this is about Cannibal Corpse and the number one band to me ever. I mean, it overtakes anything from what we talked about, Kiss. It overtook Metallica for me, and that's Obituary. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
God, I mean, Obituary is incredible.
And fun fact about how you discovered Obituary was you were listening to WKNC back in the day, and they played Obituary.
Yes.
And now, it's your favorite band.
God, that had to been 1993, because they were playing the Incomplete record.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which I love that record. My favorite 10 of 10 Obituary record right there, the Incomplete. But they're my favorite. You introduced me to my favorite band last year.
Yep.
So I've got to meet my favorite band.
They gave you a hug.
Yes. Kenny gives me a hug.
They wanted the party.
See, that's not metal. Where I come from, that's not metal.
I remember he came up to me. He said, "Where is your dad?" "Dad!" And he like just gave you a hug.
I'm like, wait. This is Obituary.
But you had a
big We're supposed
big
to be
grin.
Going, whoa, what's up?
You had a big grin. You're like, hey. He was oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. See that? But Obituary is number one for me. It always, I mean, they're on top.
You always wear the hat.
Yes, always wear the hat. I always use my koozie.
Yep.
For my drinks. I got all kinds of Obituary stuff. Yep. Got signed records from Obituary.
We kickstarted
Obituary when they were gone for a while.
Yep.
Got them started. And now they've built several more records since then.
I have a great John Tardy impersonation when. We were doing mini golf.
Putt-putt golf.
Yeah, we're doing putt-putt. And I had the golf club, and I had my hair in my face. I said, "Dad, who am I?" And I started doing like the lean that he does when he sings. And no one in our family understood what we were doing.
Oh, the fam was like.
They just walked away.
They thought we were laughing at them.
Yeah. And I was like, no, we're just laughing at me being John Tardy.
John Tardy. Yep. So Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, Amon Amarth, Carcass.
Oh,
love some Jeff Walker. British Steel. He's the British kind of metal. I love some Carcass. Stuff like that. And what it's expanding for me.
Because
now
you're a big fan of like Flesh God Apocalypse.
Oh, God, I love them. Because
I got
of
you
all
in
the stuff.
Creeping Death.
Love Creeping Death.
Gatekeeper.
Love Gatekeeper. And I really, you know who's growing fast up my ladder? Now, I've known them for years. I've listened to them in the 90s, but it's different than this newest record that's coming out. Cattle Decapitation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This new record. I love it.
Mind-blowing.
Love it. His clean vocals are completely acceptable.
Because you said it reminded you of Metal Church.
His clean vocals remind me of the old Metal Church. Yeah, in the early days of Metal Church and The Dark. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. God, that's going to be a great record.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah. So things are, you know, others are climbing up the ladder. You always have that one that's your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain specific times when this band is your favorite, but it's not that same band.
Yeah.
This band will always be my favorite. Obituary will always be my favorite. But there are times when I'm really digging. Right now, I'm really digging Creeping Death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many different bands they remind me of.
Yeah. And it's like, whenever I interviewed them, we talked about their, like, influences in a way, because how the singer like grew up around the singer of Power Trip, and they would always hang out, and it was just like all the metal bands there were very tight, and it's how they all influenced and went off each other. I find the Texas scene so fascinating because every band that's come out of Texas has just been awesome.
What is it in water?
Everything's
what's going
bigger
on?
In Texas. Everything is bigger in Texas. That's what Upon a Burning Body said in Texas Blood Money.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
And if Upon a Burning Body said it, I'm going to believe
it. Loaded double barrel, blown to pieces.
Yep. That's how it goes. They did the riff for Respect Walk.
Yes. Got some Pantera in there.
We love that. So switching gears to we talked about the evolution of metal and how you changed from like Kiss to Metallica to Death to it's always Obituary now.
Right.
So how would you explain the evolution of metal up to this point? And do you like the way that metal is evolving? Because it was mainstream at the time, like Twisted Sister and everything, but now it's more underground, and now it's more of like that stubborn kid you want to like keep away. Do you like how metal has evolved and where it's going?
Yeah, see, that's a good question. I remember growing up listening to the radio station, and all the songs I listened to were on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to listen to WKNC, specifically to the Saul's Butcher Shop, to hear that kind of music. Now, the music that I want to hear, I have to listen to your show in order to get that, you know. So in that aspect, things have changed. Even though Metallica brings metal out of the hole, it's still mostly, it's like the old iceberg.
Yeah.
Most of it is still submerged under that you can't see. But I do like that better. My father would say, oh, well, if everybody liked metal, you wouldn't like it anymore. And I don't know if that's true because, remember, it's part of my identity.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to listen to anything but metal.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the fact that it's still underground, but it's still more mainstream than it had been.
Yeah.
At times in the past, it is still more out there. There are radio stations that play it around the country, around the world, especially in Europe, that play some good solid metal like we have.
It's like how you said Europe has always been ahead of us.
Yes.
Within music.
Yeah.
I mean, I know like if you go back through the history of metal, like Black Sabbath, all these bands came from like England.
Yep.
And they have the biggest metal festivals. It's like over there, they all listen to metal.
Yeah.
They all have a good time.
And it's different over there. You know, I spent 2 years in Germany. Metalheads are different over there than they are here. Over there, it's an identity.
Yeah.
This is who they are. Here, it's, I'm going to say it this way. It's a mask that a lot of people put on. It's either they're pretending to be metalheads or they're really metalheads, but it's not acceptable. So they have to wear a mask that covers up the fact that they're metalheads.
Yeah.
And in my generation, that's a lot like we saw in Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to see Ozzy, you saw a lot of them there when we were up in Virginia during the hurricane. We're in Virginia watching Ozzy.
Yep.
A lot of them my age there, you know, they don't fit the mold of what I would go, you know, they're dad metal.
Yeah.
And I've never been in that category. You know, I may be dad and I may be metal, but I'm not interested in dad metal. This is my identity. But the evolution of metal, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love what, you know, you guys, in the simplest way to put it, and I'm oversimplifying. It's like a contest who can make it heavier.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's been that way since Metallica. Who can do it faster? Slayer. Who could do it faster than Slayer? Who can do it heavier than Metallica?
Dying Fetus.
Dying Fetus. Another one of my favorites. God, I love them. Got to see them too with Whitechapel.
Oh, yeah.
In Winston-Salem.
And you didn't leave this time.
No, I stayed. Yeah, I stayed. Well, but Whitechapel came into their own now.
Yeah.
They were the headlining act over Dying Fetus. And it's tough to follow Dying Fetus.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of following somebody, a couple of weeks ago, we got to see Obituary.
Yep.
With a Bath.
Wow
is right. Black metal is a whole nother conversation.
Oh yeah,
what an incredible show a Bath put on. And I thought to myself, as you wrote about, was, oh my God, Obituary is gonna have to bring the heat to,
mm-hmm.
to how do you follow this? How Whitechapel follow thy art? It's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard for, but only Obituary could pull it off, and they did, because it's not a matter of being heavier than a Bath. It's Grooves for Obituary.
It's the stage show.
What is your presence. Thing? Yeah. What is it that you do? You know, they got a trademark on hair banging. You know, Trevor and his hair banging. Come on. There's nothing better than that.
It's great. I love it.
So I like the evolution. See, Obituary hasn't evolved. Mm-hmm. Obituary's been the same since I was listening to them in the 90s.
Which it works.
Yes.
It works.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. They do little subtle things. Little things are different. John Tardy's actually writing songs that he's saying stuff in now. The early songs was just, you know, yeah, he would tell you that he doesn't really say anything. He just goes, dying. You know, and I like that too.
Yeah.
You know, simplicity. Something can be said about that. But a lot of the bands, you have to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any kind of vision.
Yeah, you know, Whitechapel has evolved
yes,
a lot.
And I like it. Mm-hmm. I like how they've evolved. I like the old heavy stuff. But that's a talented bunch right there.
Oh, yeah.
There's some talented guys. And I'm going to tell you, the singer, what's his name?
Phil.
Phil. Oh, he's incredible. What a great set of pipes he has. Yep. He's an incredible guy. It was really good to see them in Dying Fetus. They did a good job following Dying Fetus.
I think it's like just Phil's stage presence because he was always right there. It's like even
he's hovering over the people.
It was like everybody was like, they just felt like the band was in our face.
You know, me and your mom were in the balcony in the back, and I felt like he was right there in the balcony with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great at that, standing up on that thing he has. Yeah. And I love it. And that's another thing that has changed. You know, the first show I ever went to. Most people don't know this, and it's only right here on your podcast. It's right here in the electric chair.
Uh-oh.
My brain's frying, so it's making me say things. First band I ever saw live, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
My father took me and my sister and my grandmother, and I sat there, you know, my 12-year-old self. I sat there in a chair, had my arms crossed, but I could not keep my foot still. Because Alabama could jam. I mean, that old country western.
It'd be like
not,
that sometimes.
Not country pop like they have today. It was country western in those days. They jammed. But what I began to notice was I like the live shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch. I don't want to be in the pit. I've been in the pit. I've been in the front. I like to be where I can see.
Yeah.
The people, the band, everybody in the band. I like to see everything. And when I used to go see Kiss, they had to do all that crazy stuff to give you a show.
Mm-hmm.
The bands that you are going to see, that I'm going to see, that are in these clubs, that it's barely a stage they're standing on, they are doing hella shows.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't need multi-million dollar stage sets like Iron Maiden and Kiss use. That's another part of the evolution. Do you have the talent in and of yourself to put on a show
That's
without
true.
Tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars? And lights always help. Smoke machines always help.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw 6 Feet Under in 1995.
Love that band.
No smoke machines. No light show.
They just headbang.
They come out, Chris Barnes, they look larger than life standing up there,
mm-hmm.
you know? Chris Barnes comes out and they rip into Insect and everybody, that's the way the whole show went, and then they walked off. No stage show. They hung a thing in the back that said 6 Feet Under. That's it. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's like, Beavis, this is the coolest thing I've ever
that's
seen.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it was
like. I think
like.
It's interesting when like your talent alone, that there's your stage show. I can do this live.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and there's some bands that you listen to on record.
Mm-hmm.
You don't watch them live. You listen to them on record.
Yeah.
And then there's bands that you watch them live. But I'm not going to listen to them on record.
Yeah.
And then there's some bands that I want to listen to their records and I want to see them live because they're good individually.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes bands, the singer overpowers everybody. There's not enough talent in the band collective to overcome the singer.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's the drummer that has all the talent and he so overpowers everybody else in the band. And that's why a lot of these bands struggle. It's the rare bands. Think Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those individuals, the brothers, Phil singing, you know, you got the bass player. I mean, each of them were individuals that had their own right and their own power. That's why they were so huge.
Yeah.
You know, simple riffs. They were badass, but they're simple.
I would also say Korn is in that aspect, too.
I would say Korn
now
has been
Korn
in that
now.
Aspect.
It's like, yeah.
They've been there.
Yeah.
I dig Korn, like Korn, and, you know, they're huge. Not as big as they used to be, but they're huge. But, you know.
I would have loved to seen Korn at Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, when they redid Woodstock.
Yeah. And
that was the heyday.
Went on.
Yeah, that was the heyday. Never got into Olympics.
That's that crowds are just rap one of those
thing.
Days.
Yeah. The rap metal thing. I just can't do it.
So I have one final question. Mm. How hot is the hot seat?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I can smell flesh burning.
Great.
Yep.
Do I need to tighten any
bolts?
My
ass is warm.
Good. I have fried you to death. I'm about to make bacon. You know? It's welcome to the Sauce Butcher Shop.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me here.
That was great. Always a great time.
Yes.
And all y'all tuning in, be sure to check out the Sauce Butcher Shop. It goes on Fridays. We always hang out, have a good time. You can air guitar and air drum with my dad.
Yes.
We'll always be doing it in the chopping block. And I will see y'all next time.